Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
What you want to read on holiday, like, was absorbed in
it. It's a navy blazer,
yeah,
but it's so much more.
Yeah, yeah,
I'll send you the recipe.
That sounds so good.
And I would say yes, I did know pretty quickly.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's amazing.
You're listening to the Sherlock's podcast, your guide to a more stylish life.
Welcome to the Sherlock's team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Heather Steele, Georgina Blasky, and Polly Sayer. Hi, everyone.
Hey.
Heather, you're looking very chic today.
Am I? Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, very into this ensemble.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Me too. I really like your clogs too.
Oh, yeah. These are the, I've worn them when I did my fashion segment.
Your weekend outfits.
Yes, they're Russell and Bromley. They give me really cool. A nice bit of height because they're cool. Quite chunky. Yeah. I don't wear heels, but I feel when I wear them, I'm like, oh, I'm nice and tall.
They're really cool. You bought some clogs. I feel like you never wear them.
It's kind of, do you know what? I love them in theory, and then it's one of those things where I have them, and then every time I went to wear them, I was like, but I could probably wear something else that's a bit more me. I love them. I think they're so freaking cool, but they're just, I don't know, maybe not so versatile or suited to my personal style.
Doesn't fit your wardrobe.
No, but they are cool. Like, I really like them with, like, what you're wearing, a dress, because it just gives them that kind of a bit of an edge, doesn't it?
Yeah. For listeners, Heather's wearing a velvet, quite a pinafore-y dress and a white, very large collar blouse.
The clogs are very comfy, I'll just say that.
True.
Yeah, like I say, Russell and Bromley, they're not cheap, but the leather's so soft that able to.
Those ones are amazing. Are they the one they've got like a shape for your feet as well?
You,
like
I think
Birkenstocks.
You and Laura eye them up once upon a time. Yeah, they are comfy.
Yeah. Nice. I love Russell and Bromley. Yeah, whenever people ask me about chunky boots, this sounds like an ad, it's not. No. But those chunky boots, the kind of Bottega style ones, I bought them last year.
They're so amazing.
They are amazing.
I've got a pair like that, and again, like my ankles right now are shredded from
the
Monday
shoes.
Before I left, just a pair of bog standard shoes. So clogs are great for that if you've got sore ankles. But those Russell and Bromley leather boots,
so
I didn't ever blister with them.
Yeah.
And I was just genuinely shocked because by the looks of them, you would think they'd be ripping your feet to bits.
So. They're always really good quality, I find, Russell and Bromley.
You pay a little bit more, but it's worth it.
But the quality is excellent.
And it's way cheaper than designer.
Yeah, that is true. That's true.
Anyway, how is everyone? Georgina, how are you? What's going
on? Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, thanks. I'm just sitting here mulling about these chunky boots. So I've seen Polly, obviously,
been
out and about with her new ones quite a lot. I just can't get my head around it. And today we wake up, it's absolutely pouring with rain. And you're like, okay, autumn's here. I need to up my boot game.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just feel such a midget anyway, the thought of big clumpy boots.
I think there's like a variety on offer though, like obviously mine are quite extreme in terms of like the platform,
there's a lot of fuss about yours, but I don't find them that
boring. I think you're amazing.
I love them, and I don't see why they're so like,
I know.
I find the Bottega ones way more aggressive.
Yeah, I don't think mine are that aggressive. I mean, they're obviously like, I'd say the sole is quite platformy, but like in terms of the actual rest of the boots, quite minimal really.
Yeah, I agree.
And I just love the way they fit around the ankle. That's my favorite bit about them.
But are you not wearing those with jeans?
No, I am wearing
them with
jeans.
You'd wear them with jeans.
This is it. Like a lot of people have messaged me like, oh, but how would you wear those like with straight leg trousers or jeans? I'm like, I just would. Like, I don't know. Like, put them on. I think you can go for ones just like a little more palatable if like it feels a bit like out of your, I don't know, not like your style to wear something super chunky. There's like a middle ground.
Yeah, there definitely is.
Plenty out there.
And actually, I have a friend who's very tall and the same, the sort of the opposite, but the same reason as usual, Gina, is conscious that she doesn't want to wear a platform pair because she's already slightly taller than her husband, so doesn't want to add any height today. There's always going to be that classic ankle boot around. Again, Russell and Bromley.
I feel like there are loads of like Chelsea boots that are just chunkier than the normal iteration that you could go for as well.
And actually, we ran a story with Kurt Geiger last week. They had some really good ones too. And they have obviously the super chunky ones, but then they do have some more classic Chelsea and a lot of biker boots around as well.
Yeah, I still really like a biker boot too. If you want something like a little bit edgier. Mm. And I think we also did a feature on the site, like an edit of chunky boots, which I do, if I say so myself, I think there was a variety on offer.
didn't you also do a fashion fix?
Oh my God, yeah, I did it like 2 weeks ago. So if you need some styling inspo, go to our story highlights.
It's true though. She's being sarcastic and modest, but there will be on our story highlights how to style chunky boots.
Yeah.
Polly, I'm also really feeling these leathers.
Thank you. Yeah, these are my like investment leathers. They're by Nanushka.
Well, so they're not really leather then, are they?
They're not. They're faux leather, which I did think to myself, I was like, God, I am paying quite a bit for leathers that aren't actually leather. But I tried these on maybe like a year ago for, I think, it was something for Harvey Nichols maybe.
I was just
like, God, these are a good fit. And like really, I find it surprisingly difficult to find good like straight leather trousers that are like, you know, they feel nice, they're the right length, they're a proper straight leather, not too tight around my like thighs or whatever. But and I just thought to myself this year, I'm still thinking about them, and I wear leathers a lot during the winter, so I took the plunge. And the leather, the faux leather I should say, is so soft.
They look like real leather.
They're thinner than real leather as well.
Yeah, exactly. What I will say is they're not at all breathable. Yesterday I wore them out and I felt like I was wrapped in cling film because the sun came out like in the morning. It was quite cold, and we just like halfway through this walk and the sun came out and it was just so boiling, and I was wearing my boots as well, and I remember just feeling like I was having a panic attack because I was like, I can't get out of these trousers, I need to. So I said to Matt, I was like, you're gonna have to walk Barry home, I'm getting in a taxi back because I just was like, I need to take these trousers off, they're so non-breathable. But when it gets colder, they are really, really great. Yeah. And like, they're a really good length personally. I mean, I've worked them up a bit because I'm sat down, but they're like, they hit, they're not too cropped, which I find for me, a lot of leather trousers can err on the side of, but yeah, they're a bit longer, which is nice.
I think with Nanushka, you pay for the cut as well and the fit, so you'll pay a bit more. But
yeah, and obviously, like, I think for a lot of people, faux leather is not a bad thing either. Yeah, it's an ethical choice and whatever. And so
great,
worth the investment in my opinion. But again, we also have a feature on the site of leather trousers and edits, so just check those out. It's a variety on offer, variety of price points.
Georgina, what's on your autumn winter wish list?
Oh, I actually just bought myself a pair of, they're the Paris Texas Black Lizard knee-high
boots. I bought them in white.
Oh, so did you? Oh, my God, check us out. So, yeah, I have been, all last winter, I bought the Arquette knee-high, more chunky heel ones.
I have those too.
I know you do, and who. And I bought them, and I sort of walked around my bedroom for about 10 minutes and went, oh my God, these are too bloody high, there's just no way. So they went back. And I just never quite worked out what look I really wanted. And I was eyeing them up for ages. And then on the site, Fashionable Pan recommended them. And I was like, oh my God. And then now this is like a sign. And then I went on her website and her Instagram, and she actually had a discount code for Farfetch, I think it was. So then again, I was like, okay, now this is really another sign. Yeah. So I'm just going to get them. So then I did walk around my bedroom for another 10 minutes in those. And they were brilliant because they're just the perfect heel height. I think they're like 60 mils.
Well, mine are the really high ones, actually. Yeah.
You went high, so I went low.
I should have gone low, but I haven't seen them in white this season in the low.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Actually, Mercer 7, Erna, had them in white low last year, and they looked amazing. And actually, mine are going to be harder to wear than that. But the thing is with white boots, you can't run around in them anyway because they'll get trashed. So I'm happy. I don't mind saving them for occasions. I'm gonna whip them out for the Sheer Luxe party on Wednesday.
Will that be their first outing?
It actually will. Although we're doing some filming with Matches in the morning, so I think that will be their first outing.
Nice.
And then later that evening.
Interesting though, white boots. So I'm like 5 years too late to this party. I'm all about the boots today. It's obviously on my mind.
Yeah. The weather.
And then I was like, white boots, kind of nice for going out, especially if you're wearing maybe a longer dress and you want to kind of make it a bit cooler.
Exactly.
But then I was like, I just don't even know where to start with those.
Well, in addition to my long ones, I'm going to buy, there's a Zara short pair that's quite square toed.
Yeah, nice.
Because actually it was a couple of years ago when white boots were a massive thing, maybe like 2016, 17. And they are, I have to say, they were the most useful. I had like three pairs with different heel heights. M&S did an amazing pair that year. And they were so useful.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Because again, we're talking a bit before we started recording about kind of how to make your winter wardrobe look a bit cooler. And white boots is a really instant way, if you're wearing like leathers or even blue jeans or anything, to just feel a little bit more fashion. So I'd recommend that Zara pair. I'm going to have to order them now before they sell out.
Okay. Quick. Before this goes live.
I really like that idea of for me, like going high street on white boots, 100%. Especially for the first pair, because yeah. I might just go, do you know what? This is not going to yeah. work.
Well, slash they'll get trashed. So that's why I'm going to be and they're going to get precious trashed. About my pair of sexes.
So there's a lot of white boots with a Western theme, cowboy style white boots.
I've got, yeah, like a Western inspired pair that I bought from Zara actually last year. I can't say I've worn them tons, but as you said, they are just useful to have, you know, occasionally, I think. And I quite like a, maybe not a classic Western, like cowboy boot, but like inspired. I think it's quite nice.
Little Cuban heel or something.
And, yeah.
Kate set the trend for that, didn't they?
They did, so, yeah.
I feel like you could do a Western boot.
Oh. I really don't like boots.
No, I know, but I feel like if you were going to, that would be a good one for you.
I just feel like I'd be going horse riding. And I think, especially with the Western ones, can you remember, I would have been like 17, so you probably would have been much younger. But
can you remember? You're older than me.
I'm 3 years older than you.
Are you?
Yeah. Oh, I'm 33. And you just turned 30. Yeah. Anyway. But can you remember everyone was wearing footless tights, denim skirts, and those like cowboy boots from Topshop?
Yes, I do.
What a look. Like, that's just what I think of now.
I think it was Jessica Simpson inspired.
I don't know what it was, but just in. Like, obviously no one in the office looks like that wearing them, but just whenever I see any sort of high-ish boots, I have throwbacks to that.
What do you wear in the winter then if you don't like boots?
Well, last year I did wear those Russ and Bromley ones, so yeah. They were kind of okay. But I mean more like high ones with heels and stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, and I just kind of relate to that as well. I always like the idea of wearing a heeled boot, and then in reality I'm just like, oh, I just can't be bothered.
I just don't know what I guess I could wear it with a long dress, but then if you can't really see the boot itself, I kind of feel like... Ooh. It looks cool on other people, but I'd just be like, well, you can't see them anyway.
But when you then sit down and you like
I'm thinking of you on the show hosting, you know, and a bit of
but Heather, you could try. There's those kind of sort of welly inspired
flats.
Oh my
god, yes.
You'd look so cool in those. Maya's got a really good pair from H&M actually. They're like a Chelsea boot,
yeah,
but they just go to your knee. And they're a little bit wider than that as well. Yeah. So they're not like skin tight. They're like a welly boot.
They're at Solivera. I love a brand. They're a little bit like Doc Martin with those like sort of plasticky soles. They've got a new collection with Tote and a new collection with YMC that I'm eyeing up. But they're more sort of waterproof Chelsea boots.
Yeah.
But
also, you could definitely put off a Grenson.
I'd love one. And any of those hiking-y-esque boots, 100%. It's more the like thigh-high ones. I just laugh about
actually, when I think, Polly, you wear your Grensons with that Ganny dress quite a lot. Yeah. And that's actually such a Heather look.
I covered that outfit, especially because you managed to get that leopard print Ganny Georgette dress. It's elusive. Yeah. I've got it in various different... patterns. I'm always searching for that leopard shape, print one.
Yeah. Or when you don't want it anymore, you can pass it on. Anyway, that was a lot of fashion chat. But I'm going to move over to your fashion questions now. Somebody's asked about belts to wear with jumpsuits. Georgina, you're wearing an excellent jumpsuit today.
Yeah, M&M navy jumpsuit, which weirdly I bought in May. It was part of a spring collection, and yeah, I seem to wear it a lot in autumn. It's quite autumnal, thick, like kind of cotton. When you don't know to wear jumpsuits,
it's kind of utility inspired, but it's still quite feminine.
No, they have like, it's got a little puff shoulder and it's got a few details that just make it not too kind of cargo.
They do a good jumpsuit, M&M, don't they?
They really do.
Coats to invest in this season. Has anyone begun to think about coats
yet? I actually have. I mean, it's the same sort of thing as every year. I just like a really long, like oversized masculine inspired wool coat, but I guess they're just like timeless, aren't they? But there's one that I spotted, you know, that sustainable brand called Align.
Yeah.
They have done like a collaboration with Brittany Bathgate, who's an influencer, and it's like amazing kind of herringbone one, which just looks like such a good shape, good length. And it's like maybe 185, so like not astronomical. And I always think it's worth like investing in a coat. So I think I've signed up to be notified when that drops. And I think I might take
the
plunge.
That sounds gorgeous.
Yeah,
it does sound good.
Very nice.
Heather?
So I've got an Alexa Chung barber coat that I got. I think I've always had barbers knocking around, but when I discovered she was doing them, I was like, oh, these are slightly cooler. So I've got a classic green one, but she sort of does two collections with them a year, and I really want obviously a black one. But yeah, they are, when they're full price, they're quite expensive, sort of 300 plus, whereas if you get them in the sale, they're more like 125. So yeah, I've got my eye on a few. Barbara also do ones with Margaret Howell as well, which are amazing, so either of those would be lovely. lovely, yeah, but cool. Not right now.
Save yourself. Yeah. Georgina?
Yeah, I have bought the Marks & Spencer Per Una £55 wiggly padded.
Oh, the puffer.
You know, the puffer. Okay. It's not a puffer. It's, I don't know. A puffer I think of as being like a big coat. It's North Face type thing.
So is this a Frankie Shop style?
It's the one with the wiggly quilting. Yeah. And I just wanted kind of have a warmer version of a shacket, basically. Mm. Especially like popping to the shops or taking the dog out. Just something waterproof and a bit warm, but not like a really big, heavy, thick coat. Because I've got an investment one of those from years ago that I always use. So I just wanted something.
In between. I got one like that from Primark. It went extra large. And it's, I nearly wore it today. But again, I was thinking before the podcast, it's really hard with jackets to make that part of your wardrobe when you're in the office. I didn't want to sit in it all day.
No, but then it's like,
but I was wearing a jumper and it was too small. But anyway, I'll wear it at some point this week and show you. You have to go really oversized. Otherwise, it's a bit fitted, but it's cool.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't really go into Primark, but I feel like I keep seeing people on Instagram like picking things up from there. And I'm like, that's really nice.
I was at Westfield at 10 a.m. on a Saturday, which was the most delightful time to go.
Yeah.
It opens at 10, and that's when I popped in. I was like the only person in the store.
Nice.
I really want the Frankie Shop coat. And I just do the quilted one, and I just don't know. Like, it's so done now, but it's just so useful.
It is useful, but I don't know. I really do love the green, but I do just feel like everyone's got it now.
I know.
It's such a shame.
And everyone's doing jeeps of it.
Everyone's doing it.
Arquette had an amazing one earlier this year, but I didn't get it because I was like, no, everyone's got it.
I know. And Riven and Riven have done amazing, proper jeep. It does keep selling out. Lou's actually got that really good navy Arquette one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Yeah, which is really good.
There's one on Mango as well, actually, that I really like.
The Mango one is really nice.
Super nice. Yeah. And I feel like it's slightly less of like a very obvious copy, but it's still that similar style, which I think... Yeah. Maybe it's a little bit cooler.
I think, as you said, Georgina, the reason that jacket's so popular is there's such a like gap, an identifiable gap for that like something to wear when it's this time of year. It's a layer. It's not stinking hot. And my dad's got an Aquascutum overcoat.
Oh, yeah,
he's probably had for 30 years, and I know he doesn't really wear it. And I'm like, can I just have it? And my dad's 6'3". he's a broad guy. He's 6'3", but like it just looks so good because it's so the style of now. It's this big navy wool overcoat. It's
so nice,
so big. Maybe just this winter.
Take it. You'll look after it.
Surely he'll be staying at home more, you know. Somebody's asked your go-to plain t-shirt brand under blazer. I am so in the need for some plain t-shirts. Lou actually the other day was wearing a really good one from American Vintage, a men's one.
Oh, okay.
It was a really good wash, and I think I'm going to have to copy her, actually. It was really good.
Yeah, I've not tried them, actually.
Where do you get your t-shirts from?
I just like COS. I think they just do a good boxy t-shirt, and they're quite good for that sort of unisex vibe generally, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I find the t-shirts are quite a nice straight fit.
Same with Arquette.
Yeah, same with Arquette and Stories, I think. Although Stories doesn't have menswear, but yeah, they're similar ilk, aren't they? But I don't know, I think I picked up like a really nice, like a couple of nice white t-shirts from COS recently. One was just like a classic cotton one. I think it was maybe from the men's section. I didn't realise I'd got it from there, but I was like, hey, it's fine. And then a really nice kind of linen-y one, which I love that kind of slightly different texture, isn't it? And feels a bit cooler. But yeah, I don't think you need to spend lots of money on t-shirts, but I think you need to look after them if you do go a bit cheaper.
Agreed. Yeah. Agree with that.
Yeah. I got a really good one actually last week from Uniqlo.
That's a good idea, and it was
just a really boxy crew neck.
Nice.
£9.90, I think it was.
Can't beat them really, can you?
Can't argue with that.
Yeah. And also, you chuck them after a year. Let's be honest. Exactly. Is your white t-shirt going to last much longer?
By chuck them, you mean you give them to charity or you upcycle them, presumably. Mid-calf burgundy flat boots. They sound horrible. Don't buy those.
Sorry, don't buy them.
No. Please don't buy those. Everyday shopper bag. What do you guys use every
day? Oh, this is like a point I've been thinking about. So today I brought in like a Sainsbury's bag for life to work, and I was like, I need to sort my fucking life out. That's not okay. No, it's not. But I was like, oh, it's just such a good size, you know, for like chucking lots of things in. But I've been thinking about maybe buying one of those like Marant tote bags, you know, like, because it just feels a bit more polished. But you do, when you're silly and you've got like a silly little leather bag, you do actually need like an extra bag to put things in. So maybe one of those.
We moved obviously last week, and I can't find any of my totes. The only one I can find is one from when we picked up the dog, and we got a beagle themed. It literally has got a big picture of a beagle on the front that says, so cool. I love my beagle. So we're really representing the fashion team on our commutes at the moment.
Yeah.
Heather, have you got some kind of tote bag?
I've got loads, mainly from events. You just get given them left, right, and centre. I have got some nice ones as well, but I was going to say, I've got my eye on. Anna Bromelow put a really nice selection of bags in her late.
I can't remember
what was the theme of the feature? I can't remember.
I think it was like things to invest in, wasn't it, for the new season? One of them was like a
She had a big APC one that looked really like, oh, that's a good size, because I am sort of in the market for one that can I can chuck my laptop and the charger and things in as well. And that one looked really nice.
I bought a Sporty and Rich one as well, actually. They're about like £80 to £90 all of these brands we're talking about, like the Isabel one and the ABC. But actually, you buy it once and then you just have it. It's
exactly. Then I think they look like they've got decent straps on. So if you are like carting loads of stuff, which presumably you're doing with a bag for life, like that you need something like that, I think.
Yeah, agreed.
Useful.
Georgina, stylish totes?
No, I'm sort of in the same camp with, it's easy in the summer because it's just a nice big basket bag and you just chuck it all in that. But I've got a few sort of nondescript, non-branded. I mean, I was in Zara the other day and actually in their bag section, they had some quite nice kind of plain faux leather, you know, things you could pack down if you're not using it.
We actually ran a feature on site the other day as well about quilted bags.
Oh, yes.
And that's actually, they're like the Cézanne style
fabric
ones. Yeah, yeah, which I think they're so pretty. And there's also those ones from Liberty, Maison M?
Yeah.
With the frilly, their Liberty print with the frilly. They're really nice tailors.
Yeah,
I
can see you nice.
Yes, I like those.
Cute. Yeah, really cute. Also, actually, I was sent the other day, very kindly, an All Saints bag. They've got like a new hero tote this season, and it's leather and it's like puffer. Like it's like quilted, but not tight quilting, like big quilting. That's a really good tote.
Okay.
And actually with the Shearling one that we got last year.
Oh, that one actually is such a really good bag. Yeah.
The thing is with that one, Kimber, I bought like a Jeep one that you'd put on the site that was like £20. I used it loads. Well, I got it in like November and used it to December and then we didn't come back to the office and I haven't used it since. But I feel like I was looking at it the other day and I'm like, it's gone
a bit tatty.
Now. But I just feel like it's not.
Oh, style-wise.
It feels very last year to me, but maybe it's just because of when I got it and what was going on at the time. It's got bad vibes.
Yeah, I think when it's deepest, darkest winter, it'll feel more relevant again.
Cool.
Oh, I've just one that I'm going to answer really quickly. Somebody said best leggings for this winter, please. There is a pair of Ganni leggings on Matches.
Really?
Which are like £115, I think. And they are stirrups and they have little buttons here. So they're not too legging-y. They're sort of more trousery.
Yeah.
I'm going to be buying those.
Oh, I bought some leggings last week.
Oh,
yes. Which was a shock for me.
Go on.
Cause. They were £25. They had like about 10 different pairs of various different sizes and prices. But I wore them all last week when I was hiking around and they're really good.
Oh, that's really
not see-through.
That's
good.
Okay. Yeah,
that's what you want. Supported is what you want to feel in.
Exactly.
Really
Heist have also released a good pair.
I was interested in those.
Yeah, they're nice actually. They kindly sent me a pair because I guess I've historically only just worn like sports leggings as normal leggings, but these feel a bit like less like sports leggings and more just like, oh, these are nice, like simple, sleek leggings that are meant for like everyday wear. I'd recommend those.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Somebody has asked, what jewellery would this SL team buy if investing for yourself? They have said 2K max, which I think is a little, might not be tricky. I don't know. What, Georgina, if you were to invest in a piece of jewellery, is there something you've got your eye on? Where would you look?
Well, I just got this ring recently, actually, that I'm wearing, which is from Fenton & Co., who came on the show about 3 years ago, I think, 2 years ago. And they're a kind of ethical, sustainable business model, sort of cutting out the middleman, making sure that everything's traceable and there's no child labour. And there's obviously a lot of political issues around the jewellery industry, especially with gems. So, yeah, it's I'm really pleased with it.
It's really pretty. But can you describe it for listeners?
So it's called a garland ring. It's pink sapphire, three pink sapphires, each surrounded by diamonds set in rose gold.
It's beautiful. Yeah, really is that for an occasion?
For a combination of occasions. That all got mixed up together.
That's nice.
Yeah, really
great.
Stunning.
Yeah,
lovely. Beautiful. Polly, what about you?
I'm just trying to think, like, a couple of days of spring to mind for me. I'm not like a real diamond girl personally, but there's a place called Pye London that like curates vintage jewellery and a lot of it's solid gold. I got a really nice pair of like square gold hoops from them that I absolutely adored.
They're amazing.
Like, one fell out of my ear. I was so upset. No. But they actually have a very similar pair on, like another that they've obviously found, like a square pair of hoops, and I'm tempted to just like buy them again because I love them so much. And I feel like with solid gold it's a bit more special and like you don't have to worry about it tarnishing and things like that. And then I also got an anklet done by a brand called Atelier VM, which they have like a stand in Liberty, and it's welded on, and they also do bracelets and stuff as well, and you can add charms and things like that. And I just think there's something quite nice about like a welded piece.
I love that anklet.
I wouldn't forget to put it on then if it was like welded on. I quite like that as an idea.
I can have that because it would be really hard with fake tan if you can take them on and off. But
well, do you know what though? I always just like move it around. Yeah, it's fine. Like, you don't have to worry about tarnishing because it's solid gold. True. So there you go.
Lovely.
What about you?
Well, on my personal wish list is something from Charlotte Chesney, which is a French brand, and I'm just obsessed. She does really kind of chunky architectural, well, but she does every piece, but her earrings and her rings are in particular what I love. The earrings are just incredible, like a cuff, or they do, you can either get kind of a one standalone piece or some asymmetric earrings, which are just, they're incredible. And that's my kind of ultimate wishlist thing at the moment. And they're not hideously expensive. Everything's kind of, as you know, maybe like £300 to £800. But that is, I'm saving up for that at some point. But then in terms of other brands to look at, if you are looking for something special under £2,000, there's Kimai, K-I-M-A-I, and they are lab-grown diamonds, and they do really pretty, all kinds of pretty diamond jewellery. I've got a little C necklace from there, actually, which is gorgeous. There's also Shoupi, who are an Irish brand who we work with on Sheerlats a lot, and they do really pretty, like, celestial jewellery. They do a lot of engagement rings and stuff like that, and it's all kind of, when I say it looks like twigs, I mean, that is doing them such a disservice, but it's all kind of, like, woodland and with little diamonds on it, and super pretty, also around that price point. And there is Vashi, which is again another brand that we've worked with, who have just taken over. They are everywhere. They've got a few stores in London. I have to say, their Covent Garden store, they're just opposite the Apple store, is unreal. I mean, absolutely incredible. It's like a whole experiential thing, and you can basically have anything bespoke designed by them. It's like a complete, they're a bit of a disruptor, actually. It's something completely different, and they also have everything kind of at every price point. So if you're looking for something real without spending an absolute fortune, that's very a brand to know. Should we move on from fashion? It's been a lot of fashion chat. Let's see what else we've got on the list. Somebody said December wedding guest ideas. Is that like who to invite to your December wedding?
Father Christmas?
Father Christmas. That's a good one. Somebody said, this is really weird, there are two London borough questions next to one another. Somebody has said dream boroughs to live in London. If you could live anywhere in London, where would you live?
Big question, isn't it? I live in the borough of Wandsworth. I really love living in Wandsworth.
Oh, that's nice.
There's so many boroughs that I enjoy visiting. And actually, on Saturday, I went up to Camden Town. That was obviously really different. And we went to Camden Market. And that was kind of a real... It was actually just so brilliant to kind of go somewhere in London that I hadn't actually been before, and I didn't really know.
You've never been to Camden Lock?
Well, not for like 20 years.
No, I don't think I've been for 20 years.
And I just got off the tube and I was like, whoa, I can't actually believe I've been on the tube for half an hour and I'm in the same city. Yeah. And it feels like I'm just somewhere so different. I could just, everyone was so, it was so interesting. Like, everyone just looked so cool, and, you know, no one had hair that wasn't like a primary colour. I don't know. It just felt really fun and exciting and vibrant and energetic.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'd want to live that sort of...
If that's you, yeah.
I'm not sure how...
Well, Kilburn and all those nice places are just round the corner. There's still good places to live. It isn't Camden.
It's true.
Yeah, no, it was Belsize cool. Park. And then yeah, also exactly. Last week I went up to Coldrops Yard, to King's Cross, and obviously so cool. I love it up there. Mm. And there's loads of kind of interior design studios and things going on up there. So that was really exciting. But I do love an area that feels residential with parks and schools and cafes. Mm. And that's kind of when I feel like relaxed and my shoulders drop. So I love going to all the kind of amazing urban areas that London has to offer. But I have to say, I like that little decompression for 20 minutes on the tube home and then feel, I'm back in somewhere low rise.
Mm, I get that. Yeah.
With lots of green space.
Yeah, that makes sense. Heather? I mean, I know you've obviously chosen not to be in London.
No, but it's weird. Dream is different, isn't it? Because not different, but as in dream. I mean, you could say South Kensington. Sure. Like, I'd love to live there. But I don't know. I think about it occasionally. I stayed with a friend who lives in Elephant and Castle a few weeks ago and commuted in from there. And it was just so easy to get to the office. It's really fun. They've completely regenerated it recently, which obviously is a good and a bad thing. They've got rid of the Coronet, which was one of the best gig venues in London. But like, there's loads of new restaurants there, new parks that they've built, loads of affordable, let's say, housing and stuff. And it was just a really cool, vibrant area. And like, you can walk just over the bridge and you're like in London. It's like very well connected. And I really, you can walk to Borough Market really quickly. So it felt like a really well connected, like, really good area to be in.
That's where Maya lives, actually.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, it's a really good location.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, if I did have to move back, like, I would not complain at all about living there. Yeah. But I also really like North London as well. I think before I moved out to Brighton, I was like mulling a move to like Finsbury Park and that sort of neck of the woods. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think if I did move back, it'd be North or
like Crouch End, Muswell Hill vibes.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be so great. Nice. Yeah. How about you, Charlotte?
Well, my dream is Notting Hill. If I could buy a house in Notting Hill, I would. It's so funny. When you buy a house, people always say to you, like, oh, how long are you going to stay there? I'm like, until we can afford to move.
What's
your question? You only buy that. You buy the best house you can afford, do you? So, you know, it's not like, this is my dream forever home. We're 30. Yeah. You know, it's like, obviously, I'm super happy. Mm. But it does always strike me as a weird question. Like, you only buy the house you can afford, don't you?
Anyway, yeah.
Please, God, one day we'll be able to afford to buy a house in Notting Hill. I don't see
that.
It'd
be nice, wouldn't it? You loved it
there. I did love it there. That would be my dream. But I had a lot of fun. We're in Queen's Park now, and I did have a lot of fun there this weekend. And I went to the farmer's market there for the first time, which was absolutely heavenly.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy to be there as well, actually. And it's a good balance of sort of what you were saying, Georgina. It doesn't feel hugely urban. It feels very residential and parks and independent cafes and that kind of thing. But then you're super close to a bit more urban life. So
nice.
Yeah, suits me. What about you, Polly? You love Surbiton.
I do love Surbiton. Yeah, I'm a real champion of the place. I love being near the water and stuff. And I think if we could afford to buy a bigger house with a bigger garden and stuff in Surbiton, we'd probably stay there. But I also really love Richmond. Like,
just
good vibes there. Like, I've not been that many times, but just like whenever I go, I'm always just like, it's fucking lovely here. Like, obviously beautiful houses a lot of the time, and like, you know, you've got Richmond Park. Again, I like to be somewhere quite residential and leafy, and yeah, it's space to wander around. But they've also got like really great shops and things like that.
So. Yeah, and you're still by the river. It's really lovely. The Thames Path, if you want to do kind of little bike rides along the river and walks, it's so nice.
However, Richmond is not London.
Is it technically not?
It's technically not London.
Surbiton, it's got technically. TW postcode, hasn't it?
It does. But anyway,
Surbiton isn't London either. It's actually but
all your answers are wrong, it turns out. It's close enough.
It's Greater London, we'll call
it. Somebody said hot destination wedding in March 2022. No, don't get married abroad. Sorry, just don't do it. I love this question. Speaking of abroad, if you were to move abroad, where would it be? Where's your dream? Speaking of places to live, where's the dream? Where do you feel like you've got an itch to scratch to live there? Heather?
So I was in the Highlands last week, and all of us, there were 10 of us, and at various times were like, oh, if only we had some money, like, we'd buy, you know, a nice cottage there and, you know, make it work. But obviously, you'd want to do that and still live where you live now. You wouldn't want to necessarily be there forever. Obviously, when I was younger, I was like, want to move to Berlin. But I feel like that's a bit done now. Like, everyone moves to Berlin. So, yeah, it's a massive cliche. Oh, I don't know.
I think Emily in Paris has ruined everybody's versions of moving to Paris.
Yeah. And New York does sound hectic as well. Like, I think it's probably something, if I was going to do it, I probably should have done it like 7 years ago or something.
I just don't think I could hack a New York winter. I'd love to move to New York from like March to October, but actually, you know, if you've been there in that kind of Arctic season, 3 days is enough.
Polly, I'm kind of like you, Heather. I've not really had a burning desire to live abroad, but someone asked me the same question a few weeks ago, and I think I would choose like south of France. Like, it's not too far from home in terms of like seeing your friends and seeing your family and stuff, but like, I don't know, I really like places where there's like lovely buildings, like you get to go to the seaside, the food's amazing, you know, you can get to Paris and stuff like that. I don't know, I just had some lovely times in the south of France, maybe seeing it with rose-tinted holiday spectacles, but it's just gorgeous, like everything about it's gorgeous.
That's a good shout. Yeah, north of France for me, I think. Yeah, I could definitely, I wouldn't say no to that.
Bread and cheese.
Yeah.
Georgina, what about you?
I spent my gap year living in Aix-en-Provence, which is in the south of
lovely.
France. And it was a really special year and it was great. And the winters were really lovely. Yeah. It was like clear, bright, pale blue skies. And, you know, you just know that the warm days are coming quite soon. And things. Yeah. I just really did enjoy it. And it doesn't feel far from home. And I definitely feel like if I was to live abroad, it would need to be near the sea.
Agree.
Somewhere, not necessarily hot, like tropical, but just somewhere where you've got that access to water for it to feel like a real contrast.
Yeah.
And then we went to California a couple of, probably 3 years ago now, I guess. And I always thought, oh, I'd love to live in LA. I'd love to live in California. But actually, when I was there, I was like, it's lovely to visit and it is really amazing. But there's this freezing sea, cold mist air that rolls in every single day, whatever the season.
Really?
And it's like,
well, it depends where you are.
Okay, but
San Francisco is like
San Francisco. We didn't even see the Golden Gate Bridge when we were there. We left like 3 days.
And actually, all the way up that coast, like when you get hit Big Sur up. But yeah, we didn't see the Big Sur at all. It was completely foggy.
Yeah, but even in LA, we were in Santa Monica, and it was pretty fresh for August. The sea was freezing.
Mm.
And I was just like, it's really cool, but yeah, I couldn't live here. Everything's in the car.
Yeah,
and it was weird because I always thought that's where I'd want to live, in like Pacific Palisades, or I used to watch Brothers and Sisters.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Sally Field, and I was like, I want to live there in Ojai. Yeah. You know, that's where I want to be. That looks amazing. But the one place we did go on that trip, and I did actually turn around to my family and say, right, this is where I want to live, was Santa Barbara.
I knew you were going to say that.
But then how I would move there now, and you know, I don't know if that would work.
Also, it's really small as well, so you probably would get bored eventually.
Also,
but
Santa Barbara
have
the most terrible fires as well. Like they get so impacted every time that they're in there. Forest fires, not to bring a really serious angle to the chat, but I agree with you. I could live in Santa Barbara. But also, you have to be a multi-millionaire to live in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, so obviously, the caveat to this is I'm moving somewhere with an unlimited budget to buy the dream property, because I don't want to live somewhere but be in a shithole down the street.
Yeah. So, yeah. Might as well stay
if
in Blighty then.
Stay in Wandsworth. Otherwise, I'll make do with Santa Barbara.
Sure, that'll do.
What about you?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like I'm not done. Like, I don't know where. I always thought I'd want to tick New York off. But yeah, I really don't think I want winter in New York. I think I'll stick to New York as a vacation destination. I don't know. I did Paris on my year abroad. Tel Aviv is the place that we always
I'd love to go
there. Moosh and roll over. And I lived there. Well, I lived in Israel for 9 months, but Tel Aviv for three, or just outside Tel Aviv for 3 months. And it's a bit like what you were saying with the weather. You know, you don't really get a winter there. It can be a bit cold and gloomy in kind of December, January, but you're back on the beach in February. And just what great lifestyle to be on the beach. And it's such great food, and there's culture, and there's fun, and it's young. So that's kind of, that's where I'd like to be. But it's also unbelievably hot in the summer. Like, it's obviously the Middle East, so there's that to contend with. Plus, it's, I think, quite like, bureaucratically, it's quite a hard place to live. Everybody says, like, make your money and then move to Tel Aviv. Don't go and try and kind of be successful, despite the fact that there's loads of kind of successful fintech people and stuff. I just think it's not a very easy place to live. So, and there's, like, the constant threat of war, so that's also not fun. So apart from that. But yeah, that's it. I don't know, I could go back to Paris quite happily, but Paris feels very small compared to London. I think if you're used to London, and kind of, you know, everything you were saying about the space and the variety. Paris feels a little bit claustrophobic compared to that, but I love it. I do love it. So
yeah, I don't know.
If the opportunity came up, kind of anywhere, I think I'd take it.
Yeah,
just nowhere too cold.
Scotland, Edinburgh, I could live there easily.
Yeah, I like Edinburgh.
And let's finish by talking about gifts. Somebody, I feel like gifts come up all the time. Guys, the Christmas gift guide is not far away. Gifts for my 30-year-old female friend. The budget is £30.
Well, when I've had big birthdays with other friends, we've all put in £30 and got something much bigger. But yeah, £30 is quite tricky.
I'd give my friend, if I had £30, I was quite strict about it, one of the, just like a small Diptyque candle.
Mm. So
the
smaller ones. Can you get those for 30?
I think they're 28, like £28,
aren't they? The smaller ones. And I don't know, I've done that in the past actually, just to like, you know, if I want to give a gift.
And I'd say, yeah, candle, an expensive candle. Like you wouldn't often spend even 28, or I wouldn't, on a candle for myself. So 30,
I think beauty things is a good idea. You could get a little Charlotte Tilbury something, or you know, there's little bits like that, Glossier something.
Yeah, that's nice.
I got my friend a Huda Beauty palette, she loves the brand. Yeah, Cult Beauty have probably got some good, because you can search by price as well on sites like that, can't you?
Or like a great lipstick, you know? Like we were talking about MAC Ruby Woo earlier, you know, that's like such a classic. Mm. I'd be happy if somebody bought me a fresh one. I think my Ruby Woo is about 95 years old. So the other day I was like, oh, is this still gonna ever work?
One actually, you know, I know you talk about Replica, the perfume brand, all the time, but you can get that sort of sampler pack.
Oh, that's a nice
one. Some of my friends have all got those more recently for themselves, and then for each of their birthdays they pick which one they like best and we all chip in and get
a nice idea. Heather, I was looking at hotels in Florence the other day and there was one that I was umming and ahhing over, and then I saw that the products were Replica.
Sold. That's how I first discovered them. Or separately, I told you, I got my first one Beachwalk in Sephora in Las Vegas like 3.5 years ago. But separately, my boyfriend had been to New York and stayed in a hotel that did the jazz club, like shampoo, or it was shower gel and body lotion. He bought the body lotion bag, like, this is the best thing I've ever smelled. And that was like 4 years ago, but we didn't really put two and two together. Yeah, though. It was the same brand.
That jazz club, oh,
yes, so that's one of my friends chose that as their chosen one. I was like, good choice.
Georgina, £30 budget. What would you buy a friend?
Yeah, I came across something on Instagram the other day. It's called the Present House Company, and the Instagram's just Present House Co. And they do a set of printed, you know, that kind of hand block printed napkins for £24.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, look, they're like this. That kind of Isabel.
Oh, I love that.
You have an Isabel Maron blouse out. Yeah, it does. That kind of look.
Yeah.
And I thought £24 for four napkins, because there are some pretty punchy table linen brands out there, you know, once someone's got a bit of curry on it, it's not going to come out, you know. And actually, I was like, £24, that's great. So I would look at maybe something like that if you wanted to get them something homey.
That's cute. A good idea. Yeah. I'd be very happy with this.
Actually, you know where else as well is Papier. Anything personalized note cards
that
from
is a
Papier.
Good shout.
That's a nice idea.
That's a really good shout. I love. Who doesn't love personalised stationery?
I know, totally.
Like also, Hey do loads of nice things, probably. Like, again, they've got some nice napkins from there, but you get candle holders, all sorts
vases,
of things.
Yeah, vases, good stuff. Mm. And actually, going somewhere like Liberty, although you think, Liberty Homeware, it's going to be really expensive, where they have things like Anna and Nina and those brands, and they've got some really good things. And there's, like you were saying about candles, you can get these kind of wiggly sculpture
good idea.
Actually, also, sorry, I was just looking at your earrings, Georgina. Astrid and Miu.
I was thinking that. Yeah. I was like, can you get them for 30?
I think you can get a few bits. Little around 30. Maybe a touch more. But
maybe like 35. But if you're willing to push to that, then some really. I actually bought my friend some nice little earrings for her birthday.
Yeah, actually. Really good for gifts.
Mm.
Great. What good ideas. There you go. Sure. When you put your heads together.
I never have this inspiration when I
That's very helpful. all right, I think we'll leave it there. Don't forget that if you have questions, we had so many questions this week, thank you, that you can always contribute them to the question box that goes out every Sunday on the Sheerlux Instagram account. You can also email podcast@sheerlux.com. We love hearing from you. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.